let's pray and prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and I pray, Father, that this morning you would help me, Lord, to speak exactly what you'd have me to. And Father, I pray for open and receptive hearts, Lord, that we might fully obey you and walk in all that you have for us and bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, Diet Research of America says that according to medical research, the Japanese eat very little fat and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The French eat a lot of fat and they have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The Japanese drink very little red wine and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The Italian drink excessive amounts of wine and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. So according to American medical research, the conclusion is that you can eat and drink whatever you want, it's speaking English that will kill you. Right? Anybody ready to learn a new language? Well, I'm going to be sharing for the next several weeks about the heart. Do you know the Word of God has much to say about the heart? The word heart is found in the Scripture 836 times. Let me just put that in perspective. The word love is found in the Scripture 387 times. The word faith is found in the Scripture 281 times. By the way, if you're just wondering, oh, well, what about believe? 181. It's amazing. You add all those together and they don't equal the number of times that the heart is talked about in the Scripture. Wow. Major themes of the Bible, I'm telling you, the heart is very important to the Lord. You know, the Word of God says that we are to love Him with all our heart. We are to serve Him with all of our heart. We're to seek Him with all of our heart. We are to obey Him with all our heart. It is with the heart that we believe, not the head. No, it's with the heart, the Bible says, we believe. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The Bible tells us we're to have a singleness of heart, not a divided heart. We are to sing and make music in our heart to the Lord. Now, I want you to understand what we're talking about when we talk about the heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia, and literally it refers to the physical heart. But figuratively speaking, it is talking about man's entire mental and moral activity. It is both the rational and the emotional elements of man. If it refers to our thought life, our feelings and desires, and our choices and will, all of that takes place in the heart. Now, we all know how important our physical heart is to our body. You need to understand that to your spiritual life, that inner man of the heart is just as important. A weak heart means a weak body. Well, when your heart stops, your body stops, right? I mean, we all know that. But what the Bible is referring to as your heart is just as important to your life spiritually. We talk about man being a body, soul, and spirit. And so a lot of times people get confused about this because they know that the heart is that inner man. And so they think it's talking about the spirit. It is not. Your spirit is born of God. And you need to understand that when the Scripture's talking about the heart, it is talking about your inner thoughts, your inner attitudes, feelings, desires, and ultimately your will. But that is not the same thing as your spirit. I want you to see that in the scripture, and we're also going to see how important the heart is. In Matthew 15 and 19, Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. And he tells us here that our thoughts and many of our actions and even the things that come out of our mouth, it all originates from the heart. Now, I want you to realize this. None of that can come from your spirit. Amen? I mean, if you're born again, being born again means that you are born of the Spirit of God. If that part of you that is born of God, it doesn't have evil thoughts and adulteries and blasphemies and false witness coming out of it. Amen. So you need to understand that when the Bible's talking about the heart, it's not talking about the same thing as your spirit. A lot of people get confused about that, and they never really connect the dots about how important their heart is and what they need to do about it. Our thoughts, our words, actions, all come from the heart. When Jesus healed a paralytic man in Matthew 9, listen to what Jesus says to the religious leaders. In Matthew 9, 4 and 5, it says, knowing their thoughts, he knew their thoughts. He said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk? They were thinking evil thoughts. And where were they thinking evil thoughts? In their heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God will judge our thoughts, our motives, the attitudes of our heart. All of that is part of the heart, and it is the word of God that has the power to deal with the heart. The heart is where our feelings are. The Apostle Paul, in sharing how he felt about the lost in Romans 9:2, he says, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. The heart is where our attitudes, our desires come from. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. And I got to just remind you again how important your heart is to God. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, so much of it was to make it more than just an outward obedience to God and something that we do from the heart. You see, it's one thing to not murder your brother. It's another thing to not hate him. It's one thing to not commit adultery. It's another thing to not lust for a woman. Jesus wants to deal with the heart. He wants to get at the heart of the matter. The heart is where we make decisions. It is where we purpose to do things. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In the NIV, it says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart. What you purpose in your heart, what you decide in your heart. I'm telling you, the heart is the seat of the will. It is where you make those decisions and you decide what you're going to do. So how important is the heart? It is with the heart that we choose to believe. Romans 10:10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, even that decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is something that you decide to do in your heart. Believing in your heart is the key to answered prayer. Mark 11:23, Jesus says, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart But you believe those things that you say, it will be done. He will have whatever he says. It has to be in the heart. The heart is where doubts and fears come from. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All of this takes place in the heart. So much of our life comes out of what is inside our heart. It determines the outflow of your life, the activity of your life, whether for good or bad. Luke 6:45, Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. See, if you don't like the fruit, you got to deal with the root, and that means dealing with the heart. I know some of you are thinking right now, well, there's 800 and something verses about the heart, and I guess he's going to try to give them all. No, I'm not. But I just want you to see, I just want to at least uncover this a little bit, just how powerful and how important it is that our hearts are right, that we take care of our heart, and that our hearts are ready for the Word of God. Did you know almost every service when we pray, in one way or another, my prayer for us as a church is that we would be open and receptive and ready for the Word. That's everything. If we're not ready for the Word, if we're not willing to receive and willing to hear the Word, we might as well stay home and watch a ball game. I'm just telling you, we it's not enough to just come and, you know, the Word. We got to have ears to hear. You know, the Scripture talks about those who have ears, but they don't hear. Eyes, but they don't see. And it all is because of their heart. So it's so important, the condition of our heart, when we receive the Word of God. We got to take care of our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. As your heart goes, so goes your life. You know, that this Word of God that we preach, that we teach, that we meditate and we hold to as our guide for life. Listen, this Word of God has life-changing power in it. It can transform your life. Absolutely change your life. You know, it sounds like a sales pitch because those words are so often used in the sales pitch today. This health supplement, this conference, it'll change your life. This thing and that thing. And I'm talking about all kinds of secular stuff out there. 1,000 different things. They say, oh, this is it. This will change your life. This is amazing. Now, I'm going to tell you, what really will change your life? The Word of God. It will absolutely transform you. It is alive and powerful. It has within it the power to save you. What's that mean? To make you whole, to restore, to heal, to set free. It has such power in it to transform your life. But we have to be where we can receive it, where it has its way in us. The Bible says that His Word will not return void, but it will accomplish what He sent it to do. But I'm telling you, we have to allow that Word to work in us. Jesus tells a parable about four different types of hearts, and the first three resulted in an unproductive life. The last one had tremendous results. And I want to tell you, see, the Word of God can produce tremendous results in your life if your heart is good. So we're going to read from Luke 8:4-8. And I'm going to share this from the NIV. It just is a little more readable. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Then in verses 11 through 15, he explains the parable to us. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now just back up to verse 11 and 12. He says, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they do not believe and be saved. The first thing he tells us is that the seed is the word of God. If we receive the seed of the word of God, it has a power in it to cause us to believe. It has a power in it to transform our life, to save us. Again, to deliver us, to heal us, to make us whole. The word has the power in it to set you free. It has the power in it to absolutely change you. It has the power in it to change your family, change your finances, change every area of your life. That's how powerful the word is. It is a seed that will produce a harvest in your life. If you don't like your harvest, and we could talk a lot about sowing and reaping, but I'm just telling you, a lot of the time, the problem that people have with the harvest that they're getting in life, it has to do with the heart. Are we ready? Do we really receive the word? He talks about that hard heart, the seed of the word of God that doesn't get in. It is that beaten path heart. Those are the ones who hear the word, but their soil, the soil of their heart, is like a beaten path. It's not receptive to the word. They don't allow it to get in, whether it's because of unbelief or because their hearts have been hardened by sin or maybe by hurts and disappointments, whatever reason, but their heart is just not really receptive to the word. And so even though they hear the word, even though they might read the word, it never really gets in and it never does what it was sent to do in their life. You know, most people who are born again have some areas of their life where they've gotten victory, where they've gotten freedom, and maybe they've gotten healing and restoration. But I see that a lot of born-again people have some areas of their life where they're still bound up and they're still broken and they still need a breakthrough. And I want to tell you that a lot of the time the issue is that though they may have received the word about one area of life, there's other areas of life where they haven't been willing to receive the word. Do you need victory in some area of your life today? You need to check and make sure that you're open, that you're really receptive to the word of God in that area. When we hear the word and it's not readily accepted, the devil comes and tries to steal it away. He just picks it up off the path. You hear it, but then just a short time, it's gone again. Didn't really have an impact. Didn't really make a difference. because there was a resistance to the word. Now, I want you to understand this morning that in no way do I want people to be gullible. We don't need to believe every wind of doctrine, everything that we hear. There's a lot of baloney being taught today. That's the most accurate theological word I could come up with. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of baloney being taught today that's not really based on sound doctrine. It's not really based on the Word of God. And so certainly, you need to always make sure that what you are hearing, what you are receiving, is the Word of God and not just a teaching of man. It's so common today that if you know, we can attach an illustration to something, that makes it true. You need to be very careful that you stick with the truth. The Word of God is truth. And don't just pull a verse here or a phrase here from Scripture, but always line up the Word of God with that truth that you have heard. And when you know it's God's Word, though, here's what we got to get at. We got to fully embrace it. We got to fully receive it. When it's the Word of the Lord, we can't hold it at arm's length. I can tell you, if you do that, you won't have to worry about it for long because the enemy will come and snatch it away. That's what Jesus taught. So we don't want to be gullible, but we need to be open and receptive to the Word of God. One of the reasons that is so common, people have a hard time with receiving the Word of God, is pride. Pride will harden your heart. It will keep you from being able to receive. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." In the NIV, it says it this way, "Humbly accept the word planted in you which is able to save you." And again, this wasn't written to unbelievers. This was written to believers. So when he says save you, he's not just talking about going to heaven. You know, that's what a lot of Christians think of and only think of when they hear the word saved. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. But the scripture's speaking of body, soul, and spirit. When it talks about being saved, it's talking about your whole person being restored, being whole. It's the same word that many times is translated as healed. So you just need to understand the key there is that we receive humbly the Word of God, which is able to save you. That Word has the power in it to bless you. But you got to humbly accept it. And if there's pride in your heart, it'll make you resistant. It'll cause you to put up a barrier to the Word of God and not be able to accept it and embrace it. One of the very worst kinds of pride is religious pride. Many times it is religion and the teachings of men that bring unbelief and harden someone's heart. The teachings of men, and listen, it's a form of unbelief. Jesus said, "You err because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God." And, you know, when Jesus came and preached, the religious leaders saw the miracles that Jesus did. And yet, somehow, they still didn't believe. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's really no different today. Sometimes we think that, oh, no. If I would have been there and seen what Jesus did, or we think other people, if they could have been there and seen Jesus then, they would believe. No, they wouldn't. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is still healing people, still setting people free, still changing lives. And people watch it and see it and they say, oh, I don't believe it. Just like they did when Jesus walked this earth in a physical body and healed people. And I'm just telling you that religious pride can cause your heart to be so unreceptive to the Word of God, and the enemy will come and snatch it away. People say things like, well, I don't believe that because that's not what I've been taught. That's not the way I was raised. Well, let me tell you something. If what you've been taught is not what the Bible says, and the way you were raised is not what the Bible says, it's time for you to change. It's time for you to get free. And the beginning of that is for you to humble yourself and say, you know what? I don't know everything, and I'm ready to let God speak to me. I'm ready to let the Word of God have full impact in my life. I'm not going to resist the Word of God because of something somebody told me 20 years ago. So the main reason why, many times on the mission field, where people have never heard the gospel before, they don't know anything about Jesus. And when they hear about this miracle worker Jesus who can change their life, many times there are all kinds of fantastic miracles that happen. And yet here in the States, a lot of the time, it seems like such a battle and such a struggle to get people to believe to the point that they can see miracles happen. It is not because of a secular culture. It is because of a religious culture that people have been taught not to believe. Oh, we don't believe in that healing stuff. Oh, we don't believe in all that miracle stuff. That's not real. That's not for us. And it keeps them from being able to hear and receive. Oh, how we need to humble ourselves and say, you know what, I don't know everything. And I'm open to the Word of God. The traditions of men, the teachings of men. It's really interesting how that Jesus had to deal with that very issue while he was here with the Pharisees. And yet today, so many Christians, it is the teachings of men, the traditions of men, that bind them up and keep them from being able to humbly receive from the Word of God. They hear what is preached about healing or about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and their hearts are already hardened, and they won't even listen to it because they've already decided. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says, I've already decided. Oh, how we need to come to the place where we humble ourselves and open ourselves to the Word of God and allow it to change our lives. Some hear what Jesus taught about money. Did y'all notice I said what Jesus taught about money? Jesus talked a lot about money. Way more than most preachers today. But when preachers talk about money, there's this wall that goes up. You know, preachers, they're just after our money. I'm not going to listen to what they say about money. They just want my money. You know, a whole lot of the problems that people have in this world is because of money. Yeah, if I just had more of it. That's not your problem. The problem's in the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your... Help me. Anybody know what Jesus said? I know a few of you read the Bible. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, money is... It's not this... It's an issue of the heart. And the walls go up. Well, I'm not going to listen to that. And preachers say things like, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Oh, that preacher, he's just trying to get my money. That's what Jesus taught. People want to argue about, oh, well, I don't have to do that. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to do this. No, you can be stingy and sow sparingly and you reap sparingly. Say whatever you want about the tithe. You sow bountifully and you reap bountifully. But the hearts get hard when you talk about money. It's amazing to me how that many of the things that Jesus taught today are not readily received and embraced by most Christians. How we need to open our hearts, soften our hearts, be ready to receive and fully embrace the Word of God. You know, Jesus taught so much about faith. He talked about it all the time, not just when he was teaching, but in everyday life events. And many, many times when healings took place and miracles happened, he talked about faith. But when a preacher today says things like, "Be it unto you according to your faith." Whoa! Well, wait a minute. I'm just telling you. It's amazing how people have these walls that they put up because of what they've always believed, what they've always thought, and their religious traditions and teachings, and so they don't receive the Word of God. And Jesus himself could say these things right here this morning, and yet they wouldn't hear it because the heart is hard, unreceptive. We got to be careful that we open our hearts and receive the Word of God. It's with the heart that we believe. I want to encourage you this morning. If you are having a hard time believing, you're not condemned to stay that way. Faith is not a feeling. It's something that you choose. You choose to trust God. You choose to believe in your heart. It's with the heart you believe. We always have a choice. If you're struggling to believe, then I would encourage you to saturate yourself with the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And many times there are strongholds of religion or unbelief that have established themselves in our thought patterns. And to tear down that stronghold, you need to use the weapon that God has armed us with, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you tear down that stronghold of unbelief with the Word of God. But unbelief is a common symptom of a hard heart. Hebrews, let me just stop right here. There's probably not one person in this building that would say, "Yeah, that's me, I got a hard heart." But the truth is, this is an issue that all of us have to address. All of us need to be aware of, and many of us need to deal with this morning. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 in the NIV says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." It's amazing how that unbelief can block you from receiving anything from God. In fact, James tells us that a man who wavers back and forth in faith and unbelief, he says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. It's so important that we believe. That's how we receive from God. That's how we get saved. That's how we get healed. That's how we believe for any of the promises of God to be appropriated in our life. It's amazing how we can many times be in church for a long, long, long time, and we've heard the promises and we've heard the scripture taught, and yet sometimes we don't really allow it in. Our hearts are like that beaten path, well worn, but the seed of the word is not really penetrating. No matter how long you've been in church, when you hear the Word of God, oh, you need to hear it as though God were speaking to you. You need to hear it as it is. It's alive and powerful. It's not a dead word. And sometimes we just need to stir ourselves up. And sometimes we need to break up that fallow ground, make our hearts soft and pliable before the Lord again. But you know, there's this problem that we have with familiarity sometimes. Jesus went to his hometown and ministered, but because they knew him, they watched him grow up, they were familiar with him. The Bible says that it caused unbelief, and because of the unbelief of the people, he could do no mighty works there. Now think about this. It's still true in our life. It's because of unbelief that God doesn't do mighty works in our life. He does not change. He is who he is. And he is a God who responds to faith. And here's something that we need to see here. You see, that unbelief is a strong indicator that there's something not right with the heart. And that unbelief happened with those people because of familiarity. And I just want you to realize that just because you've been in church a long time, just because you've heard the promises, maybe you can even quote them, doesn't mean that you really believe them. You need to get that word down in your heart and allow it to change you. Allow it to grow. It will bring forth a great harvest in your life. Sometimes we don't really receive. Maybe we just don't like the vessel. I don't think I like his personality. You're not the first. I'm just going to tell you. Somewhere somebody's got a club. But I know, you know, I haven't even gotten started on being disliked. Nobody, as far as I know, has created a web page to disparage me yet. You know, Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and all these guys, you know, man, people have dedicated whole websites to disparaging them. I'm just getting started. So if you're having a hard time receiving from me, well, you just need to open your heart to the Word. You don't have to like the vessel, but you got to love the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you this morning, don't allow the enemy to come snatch it away. And I'm not just talking about this preacher. See, however the Word comes to you, if it's the Word of God, don't allow just something as silly as, well, I didn't like the vessel. What does that matter? You know, I'm sure there were some people that didn't like the vessel of John the Baptist, that weird-looking dude who ate bugs. But God used him to change other people's lives. And I'm just telling you, you got to be ready to receive the Word however it comes. Don't be robbed of the life-changing Word of God. Another issue for a lot of people is, again, right there in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it's being hardened by sin. He says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin will harden your heart. Listen, there's this deceitfulness of sin that, you know, we think, well, this is just a little thing. It's not a big deal. God loves me. I'm not worried about this sin. So what? Everybody's got sins. Don't judge me. Judge not. And here's where that goes. One sin leads to another. Do you know that almost all other sins will require some lying along the way? But I'm just telling you, one sin will lead to another. And so often when we allow a sin in our life and we are unrepentant, we refuse to deal with it, we refuse to get our heart right, then what happens is we get to the place where we no longer feel bad about it, and this conscience becomes seared, and we no longer, listen, we're no longer willing to hear otherwise. You see, the heart becomes hard. There's a deceitfulness of sin that hardens the heart. And most of the time, it's progressive, where someone goes from this sin to a worse sin. Some of you are thinking, no, all sins are the same. Do you know that's not in the Bible? Y'all are real quiet. Jesus told Pilate, he said, the one that delivered me to you committed the greater sin. Don't tell me that all sins are the same. All sins will send you to hell. We all need the blood of Jesus, no matter how small or great our sin, But all sins are not the same. Just another example of how people hear something and they think it's the Bible and it's not. But many times what happens when somebody allows a sin in their life, their heart hardens and they commit a greater sin and a greater sin. How can some people get to the place where they are so depraved and do such horrible things that we see in our culture and our society? I want to tell you, it didn't happen overnight. And you see this over and over and over in lots of different ways. If sin is not dealt with, if it's not addressed, it hardens the heart. It's one of the things that's happening with immorality and pornography in our country today. Things that used to would have been considered very, very, very wrong, even by secular people who don't know God, today many Christians embrace and participate in. What's going on? There's this progressiveness of sin. As the heart is hardened, it's not a big deal anymore. And so they go a little further and a little further to worse and worse. That's why the heart is so important. So that we are open and receptive to the life-changing power of the Word of God to set us free, to heal us, to restore us. You know, you read these stories about the great men of God, even like King David. He was chosen to be king because of his heart. He was the man after God's own heart. In fact, it was in reference to David that the prophet said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And that's how David was chosen. And yet at some point, somewhere along the way, David's heart began to wander. David's heart had to have hardened for him to have gotten to the place where he could not only commit adultery, but have Bathsheba's husband killed. How could he? How could this great man of God? Something had gone wrong in his heart. Part of David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51 in verse 10, he prays, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. In verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And David found forgiveness and restoration with the Lord. And you need to know that, yes, God does forgive. Yes, he does restore. But there has to be that repentance. We have to get to the place where we'll allow God to truly deal with the heart and, like David, ask God to create in us a clean heart, a pure heart. Renew within us a right spirit. I think for many people, one of the greatest causes of a hard heart and not being able to receive is hurts and disappointments in life. Things happen. Things don't always go the way that we want them to. And we all know this, that when we're hurt, when we're disappointed, there's a choice that we have to make, that we can either allow that to harden us. You know, it's a natural response to defend ourselves. It's a defense mechanism to say, well, I'm not going to open myself up to that again. I'm not going to allow that to happen again. And a lot of the time when people have hurt us, we get to the place where our hearts are just closed over and we're not open and receptive. And it impacts us being able to receive from God. Many times the resentment even is directed towards the Lord Himself. Somehow they feel like that God let them down. They don't understand God's ways, and so they misjudge His character and person. And they blame God for the hurts, the problems, the heartache in their life. And they become unreceptive to the Word of God. Maybe they still believe in Him, but the Word of God is no longer bearing its fruit in their life. Oh, how we need to deal with that. And I want to tell you that there is an answer. Jesus is the healer of broken hearts. Whenever you are hurt, however it happens, you need to open up your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, heal me. Lord, restore. Lord, I'm not going to allow this to get in me and cause a root of bitterness. Lord, I want you to help me to get past this. And then, as the Lord heals you, now listen, I want you to understand, this goes hand in hand. You got to be willing to forgive those hurts. The people that wronged you, you don't talk about them anymore. You don't have to get even. You don't have to make them pay. You don't have to carry the grudge any longer. You know, somehow in our sense of justice, we think, well, if I just let it go, that means they got away with it. So what are you going to do? You're going to carry it the rest of your life? I'm telling you, God wants you to be free from it. And it's so important. It's critical to the condition of your heart. Because as long as you are carrying that burden of unforgiveness and bitterness, it will hinder you from being able to receive from God. Don't let it harden your heart. Some people don't even go to church anymore because they got hurt at church. Listen, if I was going to not go to church because I got hurt at church, I would never have gone into the ministry. I can assure you, I was hurt at church by church leaders before I ever became full-time in ministry. 19 years old, I was a tough little boy. I didn't cry for anything or anybody. But when I got hurt at church one time, I bawled like a baby. But you know what? God healed me. God still had a plan for me. And I'm just telling you that if you got hurt at church, it's time for you to let God heal it and move on. Let the Word of God produce its fruit in your life. In Psalms 147 and 3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. How wonderful. Some of you, maybe your heart has just grown hard through the events of life, just life itself, the stress, the care, the burdens of life. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And I'm telling you, if your heart has been beaten down by the pressures of life, you need to let Jesus lift that load off of you. You need to get yourself in a place where you are open and receptive, ready to hear the Word of God, that faith will rise in your heart, that your actions and your attitudes, the motivations of your life, and the words that come out of your mouth, that all of it flows out of a heart where the Word of God is flourishing and producing. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank you for the life-changing Word of God. And Father, I pray that you help us this morning to see where there might be areas where we have been resistant to your Word, and the enemy has been robbing us again and again and again of the seed of the Word of God. Lord, I know there are some here this morning that have struggled in their life because there's certain areas where they just never have been able to really get victory. I pray, Father, that today, Lord, if there's a resistance to your Word there, Lord, that that will be uprooted in the name of Jesus, and that the Word of God will begin to grow and flourish. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. 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 So we dismiss this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. I know that there are some of you, it is pride that's holding you back. Humble yourself this morning I know that for some people it would be a very humbling thing to come for prayer. They say, I don't need that. I'm not doing that. And for that person, I would say, it is the perfect remedy for you to humble yourself in just that way and say, I need something this morning. For some of you here this morning, there are religious traditions and teachings that have kept you from being able to receive the truth of God's Word. And I encourage you to come for prayer. Some of you, you've allowed the deceitfulness of sin to harden your heart. Let God deal with it this morning. Some of you, there's those hurts. It's time to put it behind you. But whatever it is, don't allow the hard heart to keep you from the blessings that God has for you. Whatever prayer need you may have come to the service today with, I encourage you, you're welcome to come for prayer. And just let God do a work in your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Lord bless you as you go. If you need prayer, you come.